The Raiders take on the Buccaneers this weekend, looking to remain road warriors, going 5-0. Steve Tasker, we all remember him from his play in the NFL, and he is now a fantastic analyst for the NFL on CBS. He'll be on that call Sunday. Steve, thank you for joining us this morning. It's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Steve, first off, we'll get right to it. You know, we're in Sacramento. We got a lot of Raider fans here. It's been a long time since the Raiders have had something to smile about. You saw little flashes of it last year, and now so far this year, your thoughts on the Oakland franchise?
Well, they're playing really good. I mean, I think that their offense is driving the team, no question. Their defense stumbled a little bit out of the blocks and continues to give up a lot of yards. But the one thing they're doing defensively is getting a lot of turnovers, and they've got Derek Carr and Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree making enough plays for them to win. I think they're really fun. Their offensive line's playing really well. They've shuffled them around a little bit, and they haven't missed a beat. Says a lot about what Reggie McKenzie's done for that franchise. And, you know, they're playing as good as anybody, and they're doing it consistently. And I think that's the thing that gives you, you know, a lot of confidence going forward.
You know, Steve, you talk about the consistency of the Raiders. On the other side, you've got a Tampa Bay team. You know, consistency is their biggest problem, especially when it comes to Jameis Winston. And aside from beating the tar out of a terrible 49ers team on Sunday, what has been the biggest obstacle in terms of, you know, them making the leap and Jameis really becoming a star?
Well, I think they've had a little struggles with their offensive line. They don't protect Jameis as well. They don't run the football as well as they should, although they got some surprising production from Jaquizz Rodgers, you know, there's a guy who's about as tall as a hood ornament on your car. But he ran really well. You know, he had 156 yards against San Francisco. I think there's a kind of a trend I see once in a while around the league where they're getting these guys that are shorter, plugging them in behind a really either a really big offensive line and then letting the guy jump cut and picking his spots, and they're getting a lot of production out of that. Missed tackles continue to be a problem around the league most places. But, you know, I think the Tampa Bay is on the right track. I mean, they're a team that's sitting there at 3-3. They've won two in a row. And moving forward, I mean, this is a team that beat Atlanta on opening day this year and then got beat by a good Arizona team, went out to Los Angeles and got beat by Denver. That's a pretty rough stretch there. To go out to play, and you know, I just think Tampa Bay is a little bit better than they people give them credit for, and 3-3 is about where they deserve to be, and I think that's a big leap from where they were a year ago. I think if they can be an 8-8 football team or a 9-7 football team, I think Tampa Bay is on the right track.
Steve Tasker joining us this morning on KHDK. Now, you mentioned Arizona. I want to go back to this game that we saw this past week. We spent a lot of time debating on this show whether or not that was a boring game or that it was exciting because of the amount of defense, but then it ends in a tie. So first question being, which opinion do you take? Was that good for the NFL to see the defensive output and the low scoring? And how does the NFL proceed without changing these rules and so games are not ending in tie scores?
Well, the only people who weren't enthralled with that game were the people who didn't have any skin in that game. I think Seattle fans and Arizona fans were on the edge of their seats knowing that, you know, every play was one play away from putting that game away.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need one of those teams to win, it's a pretty intense game because, you know, you got these missed field goals, you got all this stuff going on. But if, you know, if you're a fan tuning in to watch, are you kidding me? Who cares? I mean, nobody wants to see these guys biff field goals and tank field goals right and left. And, you know, you can't get a first down. You can't get close to the goal line. I mean, come on. But if you have, you know, if you've got some skin in that game, it's a nail biter. But if not, if you're just a casual fan and you don't, you know, and you're across the country and you're a fan of some other two teams or whatever, yeah, nobody wants to watch that.
Well, and what is your take on in terms of the rule? Do you think that the NFL is going to eventually maybe go to something in overtime more like we see in the college game?
Yeah, they're going to do something. They've done the reason they've got the rules the way they want them now is because they want winners. You know, they don't want ties. Throws a wrench into their tiebreaker system, and it just makes it messy at the end of the year when you're trying to do playoff scenarios. And fans want it clean cut, clear and dry. And when you throw a tie into the win-loss column, nobody knows how it stands. So it makes it simpler. The league doesn't like it. They put these rules in there to make the overtime, to make sure that a winner would be gotten. But then they kind of messed it up by saying, you know, nobody wanted just a coin flip to decide it. So one team goes down and gets a field goal. Everybody was hated that, and they shouldn't have tinkered with that. First score wins no matter how you score. Mm-hmm. When they start tinkering with that, then they get both teams getting the football, and then it's a mess.
Well, and I don't know if it could have happened in a worse game. It's against, you know, divisional rivals, the teams that you expect to be in the hunt for the playoffs at the end of the season, and then they've got a tie. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's even worse because it's a night game. I mean, everybody's watching, so everybody has to suffer through it together. And so that now it's actually games like that put that issue on the agenda. So you can bet that that's going to be addressed. If it was a 1-5 team against a 2-4 team, nobody mm-hmm. cares. But it's those two teams on that game and that night. They're going to have to address it.
Steve Tasker joining us. Steve, as a former Bill, I got to ask you this. There was a little kerfuffle the other day because apparently some Bills are ticked off that Jacoby Brissett walked through their drills pregame when they played in Foxborough, and a couple of the guys that were actually fined for being a part of that scuffle. So we're going to do that again. Now, I'm guessing, but I've never played football before, but I'm guessing that's an unwritten rule that you divide up the field, and then when you have a rookie bust in and do something like that, don't you kind of have to smack them in the helmet, or are they overthinking it?
Well, yeah, it's the rule. The rule is that one of the teams that the teams do have ends of the field that they're supposed to be on. But if you're at the far end of the field and you got to walk down there pregame, you got to walk around the field. It's just it's common decency, and it's the unwritten rule, because you're going to get into a physical confrontation in about an hour when you go out there for pregame. Both those teams are going to be in a physical confrontation, and basically, you're pushing each other against their will. You're going to get that, so there's no hesitation about starting early. So if you're going to give them a reason to start pushing and shoving, they're very fine with it. They're going to be doing it all day anyway. There's none of this nobody's afraid to go over there and slap him across the face or push him off out of the way or lift him up and throw him off the sideline. there's no hesitation about getting a guy out of there. So if there's a perceived slight, you're going to hear about it, particularly on game day. It's one thing to do it in the newspaper. But when you do it on game day and walk through somebody's drills, there's going to be a confrontation, and there better be an official there, because they're going to be doing it all day anyway, and they're not going to give you anything. So you walk through somebody's drill. That's an unwritten rule. That's a no-no.
Steve, we appreciate it. Want to remind everybody he'll be on the call Sunday. Raiders, Buccaneers, also Thursday night football continues tonight only on the NFL Network with the Jaguars versus the Titans. We appreciate it. Have fun on that call this weekend, Steve.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.